Psalm chapter 73. As Christians, I think all of us, especially in these last days, we face a lot of spiritual obstacles. And one of the greatest obstacles that we face in the lives of many Christians today is the obstacle of discouragement. You know, I think that there are a lot of Christians today that are discouraged just over the way things are going in the world. You know, I mean, I think that as we watch the news and we see things, and you know, sometimes we get our hopes up and then all of a sudden, you know, things don't go the way we want them to go, and you see the people in the world, how they're acting, and you see how Christians are acting, and you know, sometimes we as Christians, we can get discouraged over those things, and there are a lot of things that we let discourage us. And I don't have time to talk about all of them, about just to name a few. For one thing, the fact that sin is so rampant in this world can be very discouraging to Christians. You know, I think deep down we just long for the Lord's return so much that we just want things to get better, but they aren't getting better, amen? And they won't get better until the Lord returns. That's just the way it's going to be. The Bible says the men will wax worse and worse. And so sometimes we get pretty discouraged over the sin in this world and how wicked things are today. But you know, when we look back and remember how things were when we grew up, you know, when we were younger, and we see how they are today, and you see how things have progressed, I mean, quite a bit worse than what they used to be. I mean, anybody in here can look back and say, you know, things weren't as bad when I was younger, you know. So sometimes we get discouraged over that. Another thing that we sometimes get discouraged over as Christians, especially if we're faithful, is that there is a growing apostasy amongst Christians. You know, Christians today, you have Bible colleges today that were once teaching the truth, they're no longer teaching the truth, and a lot of them went by the wayside. You have people today who have, some Christians today who have become so liberal that they don't even believe their Bible anymore, if they read it at all. You know, there were people who were once great men of God, and now they've messed up and fallen, and we see these things, and it becomes very discouraging and disheartening. I'll tell you another thing that discourages a lot of Christians, and that is the apathy amongst God's people. You know, with sin being rampant and apostasy in full spring, God's people, they just don't seem to care. A lot of professing Christians, they just don't seem to care about a whole lot of anything, especially when it comes to reaching the lost. You know, it just seems like a lot of Christians today, all they want to do is just a bare minimum as a Christian. You know, come to church every now and then, you know, really not read their Bible, not study their Bible, maybe pray every now and then, especially when things get tough. But that's about it. You know, a lot of Christians, they just don't care. And that can be discouraging, especially for those Christians who are really trying to serve the Lord. And you look around and you see other Christians and you're thinking, okay, how come they don't care more? How come they don't care more about these kids? How come they don't care more about lost people? How come they don't care more about reaching people? So that can be very discouraging as well. Now, here in Psalm chapter 73, we see 16 verses of a man who was very discouraged. And this man's name is Asaph. Now, according to 1 Chronicles 15, Asaph was a musician, much like David was. In fact, we all know that the Psalms are actually songs, okay? That's what it is. When you read the book of Psalms, you're actually reading songs there. And so you have Asaph. He was a musician like David. He was one of the three music leaders in David's organization of the tabernacle service. According to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 5, he was a man who was appointed to sound the cymbals in the temple choir. He was the one who would actually do the cymbals. And he was a composer of lyrics. But in this 73rd Psalm, we see Asaph facing major discouragement. And he was discouraged because of what he was focused on. I mean, I'll tell you, a lot of times when we face discouragement, it's because we're focused on the wrong things. We're not looking at the right things. That's reading that Bible says that we're supposed to be looking to the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. And when we think upon things, we're supposed to be thinking upon heavenly things. And so a lot of Christians today, when we lose focus, then we can get discouraged. If we lose focus on the things that we're supposed to be focusing on, we can get discouraged. Now, in Psalm chapter 73, look if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even so much as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and the waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued, and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Now those are words from a person who is discouraged. Those are a person who who's complaining about those people who are not God's children, seemingly always getting the breaks. When you hear him out here, he's basically saying, those people aren't living right. Those people don't love God. Those people aren't faithful. And look all the things that they have, and look how bad off I have it. And so he's discouraged here. And sometimes we get to thinking that way. You know, sometimes we look around and we see people that are just wicked, and we see how it seems like they're prospering in this world, and we think that's unfair. We start to think, well, wait a second, I'm God's child. I'm the one who's been saved here, but yet I'm going through all these things. But these people over here, you know, that aren't saved, they're not going through the things I'm going through. And sometimes we can get pretty discouraged over that, you know, or we see somebody living in a nice house, and we think to ourselves, boy, it must be nice to live in a nice house like that, or drive a car like that. And we start to think that maybe we deserve those things because we're the children of God. And that's kind of the way Asaph was talking about here. Notice in verse 1, Asaph basically says, God is good to Israel, and God is good to the clean heart. But in verse 2, he says, but God is not good to me. You see, that's why he looks at things. And then in verse 3 through 12, he again basically says, God is good to the wicked. But then in verse 13, but God is not good to me. So he's discouraged. And one of the reasons Asaph is so discouraged over this issue is because, number one, he was too focused on the lives of the lost. He was too focused on the lives of the lost. Look, if you would, at verse 4. It says, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. He's saying the lost seem to be free to do whatever they want to do. Verse 5. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. In other words, they don't seem to have any obvious trouble like everybody else has. Verse 7. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. He's saying it seems like everything that they want, they get. It seems like they, you know, they want a new car, they get a new car. They want a new house, they get a new house. If they want this, they get that. Verse 8, they are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people returneth hither, and the waters of the full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. So Asaph here, he's saying that, you know, the lost curse God, but yet they receive good. And he's saying, you know, the lost, they mock God, but yet they prosper. And it seems that like they get away with murder. He's thinking, boy, if I do that, well, God will strike me dead, but they can do it and everything's just fine. And the problem Asaph had here was he was focusing on the lives of the rich and the lost. And he was focusing so much on the lost that he began to think about only the now. In other words, he was so focused on them, he's not thinking about the future. He's not thinking about that. You know, the Bible says that we all have an expected end. You know what that end is? It's death. Amen? Amen. Now listen, the truth of the matter is everybody, whether rich or poor, small or large, tall or small, it doesn't matter. We're all going to die unless the Lord comes back first. Amen? Right. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so, see, but Asaph isn't thinking about that. Asaph is looking at today. He's saying today, look at all the things that these people have, but yet they mock God. Yeah, but he's not thinking about the future. You see, he's focusing on the now, today. How many of you understand that things can change awfully fast in this world? I mean, you could go from the way things are today, and tomorrow, things can change drastically. So that's what he's focusing on. He's focusing on now. And rather than thinking about where these lost people are going to be in eternity, if they don't get saved, he's thinking about how good they have it now. Rather than realizing that it's only by the grace of God that these lost people are even still alive and have the opportunity to hear the gospel one more time, he's hung up on how they're living today. And so rather than understanding that everyone will stand before the throne of God one of these days and thinking about that, he's thinking about what these people have at this hour. And you know, sometimes we do that too. Sometimes we look at the lost living their lives and it seems like they're free to do whatever they want to do, and it seems like, you know, they can make wicked laws and they can march for wicked things and they could support things that the Bible says that are abominations, and it seems like nothing ever happens to them. But yet when we go out there and we take a stand against sin, all of a sudden we get persecuted and we start to say, hey, that's not fair. But the problem is we're focusing on them and we're focusing on the now. We're not focusing on what we should be focusing on, and we're not certainly not focusing on the future. Now listen, everybody has a future, folks. Either that future is going to be in heaven or that future is going to be in hell, but everybody's got a future. But when we start to think about how people are living today, and we start to think about, and we start to keep our eyes focused on what other people have, you know, I tell you what it is. It's jealousy. That's what it is. When we start to look what other people have and we say, you know what, that's not fair, I should have that. Let me ask you something. Do you really want what the lost people have? You have hope. What's that worth? Amen? You know you're going to heaven one of these days. What's that worth? They don't have that. You really want what they have? I'll tell you this. You know, if you say, well, I'd like to have that car. You know what that car's going to be in 15 or 20 years? To be a bucket of bolts. And it ain't going to be worth anything. You say, boy, I'd like to have that new Corvette. Oh, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it'd be horrible. I mean, I'd love to take one around the street too. But I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't have that for anything in this world. I wouldn't give up what I have for anything in this world. I have hope. And so sometimes we focus on other people and their riches, and we focus on the now. But listen, that's what Asaph did. He got discouraged, and sometimes we get discouraged too when we start to do that. But I'm going to tell you, the problem is when we start to look what other people have, that's jealousy, and we ought not be looking upon what other people have. May I tell you, I want to remind you of something this morning. If there is... When every person on this earth, they have what they have because God allowed them to have it. Do you agree with that this morning? In other words, if today, what you have in this world, I don't know what you have. I don't know what your bank account is. I don't know what old cars you drive. I don't know. I know some of them. But whatever you have, it's by the grace of God that you have it. God allowed you to have it, okay? And, you know, the argument can be made, well, you know, I'm not rich compared to other people. Well, compared to other people in this world, we are. I tell you what, there's poverty everywhere, okay? But I will tell you that there's a difference between poverty in America and poverty overseas. Okay, poverty here to a lot of people is, man, I've only got one car and it's barely running. Well, that would make you a rich man in most places overseas, okay? But the thing is we start to focus on what other people have, and when we focus on what other people have, we're focused on the wrong thing. I mean, listen, like I said before, you only have what you have because God allowed you to have it. And whatever you have that God allowed you to have, you're responsible for what you do with it. And the more you have, the more that you're going to be held responsible for what you do with it. Amen? And so, you know, there are people today that say, well, you know, this Christian over here, look how much money he has. Yeah, that's right, but he's going to help be held responsible for what he did with it. You can be held responsible for what you did with what God gave you. Okay, but the thing about it is we need to be focused on the Lord, not be focused on what other people have. We need to be focused on the future, not be focused on today. Today can change, but the future, folks, the future, listen, we all have a future, and we need to be focused on that. But Asaph wasn't, and because he wasn't, he got himself pretty discouraged, and sometimes we do the same thing. And so the first thing he focused on that was wrong was he focused on the lives of the lost, and that discouraged him. But then there was another thing that he focused on too much that led to his discouragement, and that is he focused too much on himself. He focused too much on himself. Look, if you would, at in Psalm 73, verse 13, it says, "For I have cleansed my heart in vain," he says, "and washed my hands in innocency." Now, you know, if you want to apply that today, that'd be like somebody saying, "You know what? I wasted my time getting saved. I have cleansed my heart in vain." Can you imagine somebody looking at the lost driving out in a brand new vehicle, or looking at the lost being successful, or looking at the lost being the top dog at the job, or looking at the lost getting more money at the job than you're getting at the job, and saying, "You know what? Here he is. He's lost, and look at all the things he has. I guess I got saved. I guess I wasted my time getting saved." Well, I'm just going to tell you that if that's the way you feel, then chances are that somebody duped you with the prosperity gospel. How many of you ever heard of the prosperity gospel? You know, there are people today that preach that if you get saved, all of a sudden you're going to have all the riches. And if you're right with God, then God's going to bless you with all the money and all these different things. Well, like I've said before, if that's true, then there are a lot of churches, especially independent Baptist churches, who aren't right with God. Because I can look out there in that parking lot and tell you that, hey, ain't too many people rich around here. Amen. But the truth of the matter is when people teach that, then all of a sudden people start to get to the point, well, wait a second, I got saved, and that person over there, he's not saved. Look at the things he has. I guess I wasted my time. I'm going to tell you right now, you didn't waste your time being saved. Right. If you think you did, there'll be a time coming that you're going to say, "I sure am glad I got saved," when not even the smoke will touch your clothes from hell. You are saved from your sins. You're saved from hell. You have a future in heaven. And for a person to say, "Man, I wasted my time," what a horrible thing to say. But Asaph here, that's what he's so discouraged that he says, "Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency." He's focusing on himself. Asaph started focusing on himself, and he began to get discouraged, and he started the whole "woe is me" attitude. "Oh, woe is me. I've got things so wrong in my life." And you know, if there's one thing that will bring discouragement faster than just about anything else, is when we start to focus on ourselves. That will bring discouragement. When we continue to focus on ourselves and what we want and how we think things should be, it won't be long till you start getting discouraged when things don't go the way you think they ought to go. You see, that's what it is. We want everything for us, for us, for us. Well, let me tell you something, folks. It's just things are just not going to always be for us. Amen? Things aren't always going to go our way. And when we start to think always about ourselves, eventually, we're going to get discouraged. Now, I want you to think back just for a little while and think back to the last person that you knew of that thought about themselves an awful lot. And then think how long they went without being discouraged over something. Whenever we start to think about ourselves, whenever we start to focus solely on ourselves and about the way we think things should get, it won't take long for you to get discouraged, because I'm just going to tell you, things don't always go good for us. Amen? And so I've talked to some Christians who's done some good deed, and then they got mad because somebody didn't recognize the deed that they did. Why? They were focused on themselves. There are people today who used to teach Sunday school years ago, but they quit teaching Sunday school and they quit serving the Lord because somebody didn't appreciate what they did, or somebody didn't pat them on the back. And somebody, you know, they walk around and say, "You know what, I do this and I do this and I do that." But nobody ever says thank you. Nobody ever recognizes the things that I do. And they say, "Well, fine, I'm just not going to do them anymore." Well, let me ask you something. Are those people focused on themselves, or are they focused on the Lord? They're focused on themselves. They want the attaboy. They want people to notice them. You know, and you've heard me say it before, and you've heard preachers say it before, but whatever you do to the glory of God. You don't do it so for you. You don't do it because you're focused on you. You do it because of the Lord. Everything you do for Him. You do for His approval, not somebody else's. You do please Him, not somebody else. And it's not about us, folks. In fact, in the Bible, whenever you start to see the teachings in that Bible over and over and over, you know what you can find out? That it's God first, other people second, and you third. It's always that way. But what we like to do is we like to put ourselves first, then God, then other people. But that's not the way it's supposed to be at all. Asaph here, he started focusing on himself, and he didn't feel like he was being treated the way he thought he should be treated. And so the next thing you know, he's discouraged. May I tell you, that's the reason why a lot of Christians today don't go out and witness to people. Because they're too focused on themselves. You know, they go out and maybe they tried to actually witness to somebody one time and somebody got nasty with them or somebody got mad at them because they knocked on their door or they brought up Jesus Christ in a public place. And now they won't witness to anybody anymore because they got to look at themselves and they started getting discouraged and saying, wait a second, I can't believe I was treated like that. I can't believe when I went out and all I wanted to do was show somebody how to be saved and all of a sudden that person jumped up and got nasty with me. I can't believe they treated me like that. It's just not my cup of tea. I'm just not going to do that anymore. Well, the problem is who you focused on here. Do you think that they treated you worse when you witnessed to them than they did Christ? Look what they did to him. Look what they did to Paul whenever he went around preaching. I mean, those people at Thessalonica wanted to kill him. What was he doing? He's doing the same thing we do. He's out there witnessing to people. And how about John and how about Peter and all those people? Those people were put to death for going out witnessing to people. But they didn't care. They kept on doing it. You know why? Because they weren't thinking about them. They were thinking about the Lord. See, they were focused on the author and finisher of their faith. Today, if you go out and you witness somebody, and all of a sudden you start to say, you know what, I just don't want people treating me like that. I'm not going to witness to anybody anymore. You're focused on yourself too much. It's all about you. You don't like the way you're being treated. That's what Asaph said. Asaph said, I don't have what they have, and I don't think it's fair. I don't like the way I'm being treated. We're focused too much on other people, and we're focused too much on ourselves, folks. If we won't go out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ, let me ask you something. Why won't you? Why won't you? Is it because you're afraid of what they're going to say to you? You're too focused on yourself. You need to be focused on Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. Asaph says, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Notice how many times he says I. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. What he's saying here is if I open my mouth about the wickedness of these people the wickedness these people are doing, I'm going to offend these people and they're going to get mad. Does that sound familiar? If I take a stand for that which is right, and I take a stand against that which is wicked, these people might get mad. You know, that right there just described about half the Christians or more than half the Christians in the world today. Why do you reckon that we live in a country where everybody says, well, there's more Christians in this country than any other country? That very well could be. But why are we passing laws in this country that are so wicked and nobody's saying a word? Why is it that the people who are barking the loudest aren't the Christians and saying, hey, these things are wrong, we ought not be doing these things? How come they're not the ones taking a stand? Because they're like Asaph. They say, well, now if I open my mouth, I'm going to offend somebody, and I don't want to do that. We ought not be that way, folks. I'll tell you this. At the judgment seat of Christ, you're not going to worry about who you offended and who you didn't. The only one you're going to be worried about who you offended is the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat. So Asaph here, it's all about me. It's all about I. And his problem is he's focused too much on the lives of the lost, and he's focused too much on himself, and he got himself discouraged. But then, as we continue to read the psalm, Asaph changed the way he looked at things. He changed his perspective. He went from focusing on the lives of others and from focusing on himself to focusing on what he should have been focusing on since the beginning. And that is, he began to focus on God. Now, when you used to begin to focus on the truth about God and about his holiness and his perfect justice and about his almighty power, and when you start to focus on who God really is, and you start to focus on the fact that God does not lie, and what God said is absolutely true, and when he makes a promise, he keeps it, when you start to focus on those things, then it'll change the way you look at things. And one of the things it'll change the way you perceive the lives of the lost. Look again at verse 16. It says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, he said. Now watch verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely thou did set them in slippery places. Thou cast them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. Before, Asaph had focused on how the lost seemed to have it made and how they always seemed to prosper and how they always seemed to get all the breaks. But now, Asaph is focused on who God really is and what God has said in His Word. And he sees that these same people who seem to have it all today, they're all going to come to that expected end. They're all going to be facing a horrible, horrible future. And Asaph begins to understand that God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He begins to understand that. And he sees that if these people die in their sins, that they're going to be facing eternal punishment. And rather than envying these lost people for what they have on this side of eternity, he's now grieved over them because he knows what they're going to be facing in eternity. Let me tell you something, folks. Nobody that's lost in this world has anything even close to what you have today. It doesn't matter what you have when it comes to material things. If you are saved, you are the richest person in the world today. Amen. That's a fact. Because if you're saved today, you have heaven as your home. You get to see those loved ones who were saved that have gone on to be with the Lord. You don't have to fear death at all. And when death's coming for all of us, you don't have to fear. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't that a great thing to think about? That the moment at death, listen, people, that lost person sitting there saying, oh my goodness, I wonder what it's going to be. The second I close my eyes, I wonder what it's going to be like. Wonder if what they said is true and there really is a hell. But not you. Not you. Listen, if you're saved here today, you know this. When you're laying there in your deathbed, you say, you know what? Maybe this is the last breath I'll take. But if it is, I'm going to be right there with Jesus. Doesn't that make you the richest person in the world? Let me ask you something. When you're laying on your deathbed and that's what you're facing, either heaven or hell, what is it going to matter what kind of car you've been driving all that time? What's going to matter what kind of house you had all that time? When I ever talk to people on their deathbeds, I've never heard one of them talk about the things that they owned in this world. Not one time. I've witnessed the people on their deathbeds. I've talked to Christians that are on deathbeds, and nobody ever talks about the things they had in this world. You know what they're talking about? What's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. And the regrets that they had in this life. That's the two things that they always talk about. What's going to happen in the next 5 minutes and the regrets that they had in this life. For the Christians, I've heard the words, I should have served the Lord more. I probably heard those words more than any other words coming from Christians on their deathbed. I should have done more for God. And when I witness the people, they're sitting there and I tell them, when you die, do you know you're going to go to heaven? And I've had them get nasty with me. I've had them say, you know what, get on out of here. I don't care. I'll just die alone. I've had them say that. But nobody ever talks about the material riches they had. Let me ask you something. What does it matter what people have today? Honestly, what does it matter what you have today when it comes to material things? Because what you have material things today is not what makes you rich. Government can wake up tomorrow morning and say, hey, listen, we're going to take it all from you. Amen. And you could be left without anything. That's not what makes you rich. What makes you rich is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what makes you rich. But we focus on the wrong things. About Asaph here, he started to understand the truth. He understood the truth. You know, when we see people flaunt their wickedness, when we watch TV and we see wicked people start to do wicked things, am I the only one when I see that, there's a part of me that says, get them, Lord. Now, I know that's not right, but that's just my human nature. But the truth of the matter is we need to understand that even those people that we see doing wicked things, you know what they are? They're lost people acting like lost people are supposed to act. Honestly, if you think about that, there are lost people acting like lost people are supposed to act. The problem we have in this world are Christians are not acting like Christians are supposed to act. You see a lost person doing something and doing something wicked, we think, oh, how horrible. He's lost. He doesn't know any better. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit of God within him telling him what he should do and shouldn't do. He doesn't know the truth of the Word of God. He's lost. You know what that person needs? That person needs Jesus Christ. So when you have somebody like me saying, get him, Lord, that's not exactly right. I should be praying for that person. Whenever we see people doing things wrong, we sometimes get mad at them and say, boy, I tell you what, I just can't believe they do such a wicked thing. When's the last time you prayed for them? When you see terrorists in the world today, when's the last time you prayed for a terrorist? Well, I know that's starting to get close to home now, isn't it? We get the idea that we're sometimes that we're the only ones that deserve heaven. We get the idea that we're the only ones that should be going to heaven. There are even Christians today that I have told me, you know what, if that person's in heaven, I don't know, I'm not sure if I want to go. What a wicked thing to say. You know what the problem is? We start to focus on ourselves again. Start to focus on other people. Everybody deserves to hear the gospel, folks. It doesn't matter what they've done. Why? Because we're all going to face an expected end. We're all going to be facing death. We're all either going to go to heaven or we're going to go to hell. But sometimes we focus on the wrong things. Focus on the wrong things. People today may be thinking they're getting away with things, but they're not. Nobody's getting away with anything. God sees it all. No one is going to get away with it. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." That's pretty clear, isn't it? Listen, in that passage right there, it doesn't matter what they own. It doesn't matter how good life is treating them. The bottom line is this: if they have received Jesus Christ, they have everlasting life, and if they're not, they're condemned already. It's either A or B. There's no other, and what they have has nothing to do with it. And so when you start to focus on God, it'll change the way you think about other people and the lives of other people. And it'll also change the way you view yourself when you start to focus on God. Notice how when Asaph began to focus on who God was, it changed the way he viewed himself. Rather than being discouraged with the woe is me attitude, now Asaph sees things a little bit different. Rather than thinking about how awful he's been treated, and rather than thinking about how things had not gone his way, he sees that he really is a child of God and what that means. Notice if you would, starting at verse 22, it says this. He says, "So foolish was I and ignorant." Now that's something you don't hear people say very often. Listen, if you're focused on yourself, you probably are never going to say that. Amen? "So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand." Notice here how he regards God's guidance in his life. But it says in verse 24, it says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel." Notice in verse 24 and 25 that Asaph is now able to see when his life is over, he'll be in heaven with the Lord and he'll be in glory. Verse 24, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory, whom I have in heaven but thee. And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." He's saying this: when I die, I'm going to be in heaven with you. Now he's focused on the right thing. Asaph went from being discouraged at the first part of this chapter to being a man of hope at the end of this chapter. And he went from being down and out because of things he went through and because of things that he saw the lost doing to a man who understood the truth about these things. He went from a man who felt like he couldn't endure the chastening of the Lord if he took a stand for righteousness to a man who had confidence to stand for the Lord and confidence to stand for the truth. Let me ask you something. Do you know what the cure for discouragement actually is? I mean, seriously, if you're discouraged this morning because of the things that's going on and how the lost are living and how they seem to always get the breaks, if you really, after reading this passage, you know what the cure for discouragement is? It's focusing on what God said in His Word. That's what it is. Do you realize that Bible is written, number one, for one reason, to show us the places in our life where we need to do some work, amen? It shows us the places in our life that aren't clean before the Lord. That's the reason God gave us His Word for that. God gave us His Word so that we would know the future. God gave us His Word so we would know Him. God gave us words so that we can be comforted at times. But He also gave us the Word so that we can be encouraged. That Word of God, it's good for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. It's good for all those things. But it's also good for encouragement. If you're discouraged over anything in this world, I mean over anything, the cure for discouragement is the Word of God. And when you start to read that and you start to see who God really is and you start to see the promises that you have as a Christian and you start to see what your future is and you start to see just how close you are to the end, every one of us is just a heartbeat away, folks. Don't you understand that? One heartbeat away from being in the presence of the Lord if you're a saved person here today. But then again, if you're not saved, you're one heartbeat away from hell too. And when we start to focus on what God's Word said, what the loss is doing, that won't discourage you anymore. It'll actually fire you up to go out there and tell them about Jesus Christ, because you start to see those promises in the Bible are true. You start to see that God's Word is true. And rather than being discouraged because of you think of everything's about you, you'll start to see yourself in a whole different light once you start reading that Bible. Because you're going to find out that really, it doesn't matter about you. It matters about Jesus Christ. And so, if you're discouraged this morning, the cure for discouragement is the Word of God. And if you'll just believe it, you read it, believe it, it'll take care of any discouragement you might have.